At 8:45 on the clock, we'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting order for May 8th. Begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Juergens Hill, Bauman, Tiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle has stepped out. Lytle is here. Begin with the consent agenda. The general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held April 24th, 2019. Approve all claims through May 8th, 2019 in the amount of $542,404.22. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Steve Norton of 1320 Doyle Lane, Beatrice, Nebraska, to another term on the Gage County Veterans Service Committee, expiring July 2024. Approve register deeds fees report and district court summary fee report for the month of April 2019. Approve utility permit number 1125 to Windstream, Nebraska, LLC, will be plowing in 5.5 miles of fiber cable, 4 foot deep in the greater ditch, 32 foot from the center of the road. Will bore 1.25 inch inner duct, minimum of 4 foot below culverts and road intersections. The project starts at Highway 77 and West Linden Road and goes east on Linden Road and Linden Drive for 5 miles, then north on 2nd Street and Holmesville for 1/2 mile to East Linden Road. Located in the section southeast-southwest quarter of 22 and 23, northwest quarter section 25, southeast-southwest quarter of section 25, Riverside Township, and southeast-southwest quarter section 30, southeast-southwest quarter section 29, northeast quarter section 29, southeast quarter section 20, Rockford Township. Approve utility permit number 1126 to Windstream, Nebraska, LLC. Will be plowing in 2300 PF BFC 5022 cable, 5 foot deep, 32 foot from the center of the road in the east ditch of South 148th Road. Will bore 2 inch diameter, 5 foot deep under Oak Street and South 148th Road. Located in the northwest quarter section 27, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. Approved utility permit number 1127 to Windstream, Nebraska, LLC. Will be plowing in 700 feet of fiber cable, 4 foot deep in the west greater ditch, 28 feet from the center of the road. Will bore 2 inch diameter, 6 foot below bottom of gauge road for 66 feet. Located in the northeast quarter of Section 2, Township 6 North, Range 6 East, Highland Township. Approve specs and call for bids on Sheriff's Office Remodel Project. Bids to be opened on June 19, 2019 at 9:30 a.m. Look for a motion.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda, but have some discussion on number 10, please.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any other items besides item 10 to be discussed? I guess I would ask on 8th, just 8 for just a clarification. Supervisor Bauman? David, would you like to go over the specs for the bid for the Sheriff's Department office addition?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
We had looked at this in the previous meeting, but there were some more detailed information to get yet. And so as far as the specifications, the demolition framing, a lot of that is pretty much cut and dry that's in the office area. The gypcrete on the floor, that's to level the floor because it did have floor drains in there earlier, so they slope, so it would have to be leveled out. As far as carpet materials, that was in the office area. The ceramic tile would be for the lobby area and restroom, handicapped accessible restroom. The VCT material, those are the little 12-inch by 12-inch squares. Those were for the stairs going up to the upper level. When we got down to the HVAC and electrical, I was asked to get better specifications on that. I did have one of our local HVAC guys come in, and his recommendations were a 4-ton two-stage air conditioner. Being two-stage, it would be more efficient that way. A gas furnace for heat. The duct system, he recommended that it be insulated for sound reduction and also insulated on the outside for condensation. He did include an exhaust fan for the restroom. And one thing I did not think about was there is two firewalls located, the stairwell going up and then the exit going downstairs. There were some vent penetrations going through those, so it would have to have a diffuser to shut if the fire alarms went off downstairs. One thing this bid does not include was they left aside our card readers and cameras for us to bid ourselves. We have that all tied in with Diode, so I imagine we would probably stick with Diode on that. As far as the electrical panel, I had an electrician stop by, and he recommended a 200-amp electrical panel, which would be somewhat oversized, but we are completely full with our other breaker panels, so he said this would give us extras that we could run, you know, even if it's in the old office area, the old lobby area, things like that, that we would have access to more power coming. So I put that it would have to be hooked up to the main panel that is still located in the detention center boiler room. That is the original panel. Whoever bids the electrical would have to investigate and see. It's all, it's hard to tell exactly what is all on those legs in there, or lugs, I should say, to see how they would get power from there. So he just said it's probably going to have to be to open up those panels and see how it's wired. So I did look at the plans a little more, and I did catch one thing in the lobby area. We're going to use that probably for the commissary storage area. And if we do leave the inmate attorney area where it is, which is the plans, there would have to be probably a small hallway area for the attorney to get back to that location. I was just looking at the plans, and he did not show a hallway area. We have the existing door there, but it would just need separation so an attorney could get back to the to that area.
Dave, we'll take item 10 and vote on that separately, too. There's a difference in date, time, and where it needs to be delivered to.
Okay.
So we'll make...
Yes, I crossed that out. I don't know where he came up with that date.
But we'll do that after the consent agenda and just make a change to deliver those to the clerk's office. Yep.
Doesn't he have to amend his motion and to pull number?
Well, technically he almost pulled it off anyhow. So I would suggest that if he would, a friendly amendment to drop 10 off of the consent agenda, but you're going to tweak it. Okay. Just with a date. It's a small thing, but.
Yeah, I'll just amend my motion to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 9 and consider 10 separately.
Second.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
The only question I had, I guess it'd be for Galen on item 8. It's applying 2,300 feet. Is that PF? Is that correct on there?
That's a typo. It shouldn't be in there.
Just delete that. Okay, I thought so, but I thought maybe it's some different product or something. And okay, we'll make a correction to item 8 and just get rid of PF. So we have a motion by Bauman, second by Lytle for items 1 through 9. Vote. 7 in favor. Item 10, I'd ask for a motion to approve it with the correction on the bid sheet. It'd be the last paragraph where it says, this bid will remain open for a period of 30 days from the bid date. Bids are due no later than, and where that 2 o'clock starts, delete the remainder of that sentence and the next sentence and say, bids are due no later than 9:30 a.m., June 19th, 2019. They may be mailed directly to the Gage County Clerk's office at 6, I guess we could say they may be mailed directly to or hand delivered to the Gage County Clerk, 612 Grant Street, P.O. Box 429, Beatrice, Nebraska, 68310. What that'll do is allow us to have it time stamped and make sure everybody's turned in when they're supposed to be turned in.
I'd make a motion to approve consent agenda item number 10 with the stated changes by the chairman.
Second.
Moved by Bowman, second by Byers. Any other discussion on that? Vote. 7 in favor.
Motion is carried.
Motion is carried. Thank you, Senator. Regular agenda. Any comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? We have public, but no comments yet. Committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Dave?
Mainly, we did just discuss across the street what needed to be done as far as the bidding for the renovation. I would like to say the phones are all installed. I was actually gone yesterday and half of Monday. As far as I know, everything's up and running okay, so hopefully we won't have any little bugs. I'm sure there's going to be a couple little tweaks here and there, but otherwise I think it's going all right.
You shut off the phones in the county attorney's office, right?
No, theirs are going to be ringing all the time.
we get smoke signals from across the street.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization?
No, waiting for the tax values, the appraised values to go out, and then we'll have some issues. But everything's okay right now.
All right. Finance and insurance.
As always, the large ticket items, Mr. Chairman. Dawson County Sheriff, boarding inmates, $12,240. Department of Correctional Services, boarding inmates, medical, $15,189.22. Gage County Maps, juvenile services, justice grants, $21,036.94. Keating O'Gara, professional legal services, $11,428. U.S. Postal Service, postage for meter, $15,000. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, $49,130.64. Manelli Wagner and Associates, engineering consulting, $22,241.28.
Thank you, Terry.
Just make a comment as far as that legal bill. That is for our current litigation that we have pending with the insurance companies. So people don't think we're still paying claims based on the other stuff.
It's probably good to know, too. Human resources, employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
I don't believe we have anything for today.
Population still in the low 40s?
I think so, yes.
So just a little over capacity. Road and bridge. Mr. Juergens.
There's not a whole lot of good to say about that, but...
How are those roads?
I'd rather not say again. We did have discussion on the roads, county roads included. I'm talking about gravel roads as well as township roads. I've never seen a year where you'll hit so many spongy spots. And if you're going down the road loaded with semi-trailer, whatever, in a road that's never had problems before, it's just like there's no bottom down there. I don't know what's actually happened, but it hasn't healed up yet. They're still out there. So have to be. The main thing is, if driving on these kind of roads, township roads, whatever road, you have to be very diligent and careful. Speeds and everything else. Asphalt crew, they've been working patching, getting ready for the armor coating. Had discussion on dust roll for hot recycling. It's all about the mounts, anything.
I guess as Supervisor Bauman said, drive safe, slow down if you need to. This rain's not going to help anything.
No, it's just, I've never seen anything like it in all that I can remember, anyway.
Galen, did you check to see if gravel's starting to go on the roads?
Yeah, they have hauled some in Sherman Township. They did call for another ticket to start in Philly Township, but I don't believe they started in Philly Township yet.
As the roads get wet, it'll probably slow them down, too, trying to get it spread. All right. Next up, we have a veteran honor. I'll ask Phil to come up. He can maybe give us a good introduction.
You bet. Good morning. Before I start with the veterans honor, I'd like to show my appreciation to Trudy at the Kensington. She's always working hard to make sure the veterans and all the people at the Kensington are involved in community things, and I'd just like to thank her for her time and effort she does doing that. Thank you, Trudy. And at this time, I'd like to introduce our honored veteran, Marlon L. Cullison. He was a corporal in the United States Army who joined in January 11th of 1951 and served until, let me see it here, I know I got it somewhere, January 10th of 1955. Was awarded the Army Occupation Medal for Germany and National Defense Service Medal. He served 2 years and 11 months in Germany, and he served with Company C, 25th Armored Engineering Battalion, 6th Armored Division out of Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. At this time, I'd like to introduce Marlon Cullison.
Good morning.
Well, I don't know what to say. I thank you for this award, and I appreciate it. And we're proud to serve for my country. But I'd like to make a correction. I was also in the National Guard for almost 2 years, and I was a sergeant when I came out of there. And I was in several places in Germany that I was told when I got there that I would not be stationed permanently at a station because they were phasing out the company, which was the ordnance. And when I ended up, I was at the 51st Ordnance Company outside of Stuttgart, Germany. And I want to say thank you very much for my time of service.
Well, we want to thank you, along with serving your country, you also continued to give as you got back. I did some time under you in the Boy Scouts as you helped with those things. So I want to thank you for that as well.
I'm proud to see that you are an Eagle Scout, too, also.
That's right. You were part of getting a lot of us boys Eagle Scout.
Yeah, I've tried to get everybody. I don't know when the troop phased out. I was just trying to get the boys up, and I'm glad that 221 came in and rescued us on that deal.
Well, we thank you for your service to the country then and after you got back to the States, too.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Juergens has something for you as well.
Mr. Cullison, on behalf of the Gage County
Board of Supervisors, I'd like to present you with these small tokens of our appreciation. Thank you, Mr. Collison. Right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Marlon.
Don't sit down, Paul.
Thank you as well, Phil. Those stories we do here, they really are great. The people that served us overseas continue to serve once they get back, and we all appreciate that. Thanks, Trudy. With impeccable timing, next on the agenda, we have Paul Hay to discuss the tire amnesty grant and authorization to make application for this grant. Mr. Hay?
Thank you, gentlemen. The State Department of Environmental Quality has moved up the application date 6 months. So we have to apply this summer for a grant for a tire amnesty in, it would be held in August of 20. So we have to apply more than a year in advance to that. In my infinite wisdom, I probably should quit doing this, but I told Linda I'd help again. This last year, we were very successful in getting a lot of tire, had several acreages with some serious problems north of town that got cleaned up. Good things. However, it took us a long time to get those tires out of there, and incidentally, Eric, since I'm retired, they paid me, I actually got $99, and I spent $100 on the two tractors to pull the two semis out, because there's no money for that, so I only ended up a dollar short on the deal. But we had to pull four semis out, it's quite an ordeal. Now, the city of Beatrice was very helpful, because we had lots of water, and mosquito problem. They sprayed out there several times for mosquitoes during this episode and worked out really well. Eric, the water, that's half a ton of load.
In water in the tires?
Of water in the tires. And so what I wanted to know is that we count and weigh tires coming in depending on the loads and like that, and we make sure we've got a good margin there. And so we had a good margin, and all of that weight that we had to end up paying for that was all covered and like that. So we cannot absolutely, life is such, you can't absolutely guarantee the county board there would be no implication, but we have done very well to make sure there's not. So, yeah.
Is this guaranteed your dollar?
What?
Is this guaranteed the dollar that you're short?
I never expect it from you, but yeah. If I did, it would be burned in two from your holding on while I was trying to pull it.
Paul, do you know how many dollars you'd be looking to get potentially, or how many pounds you'll be able to take again?
Yeah, we would be, it's about 30, it would be about 37. 1,000 pounds of tires, and that's $1.25 a tire, basically, is what we've got there. So it's going to be $57,000 or something like that. We're going to file at about the same rate of what we've filed before. And we will coordinate. I mean, if Linda is there with Beatrice, she'll coordinate with the communities and towns to do some pickup at the same time. If not, it'll be whoever's her parent. We're down the road far enough, we can say things like that. So, but yeah.
I know there's a lot of tree lines, a lot of acreages cleaned up this last time.
Right.
It really is a great service for our area.
Yeah, it really does help. And a lot of, we have quite a lot of landlords that come in that've got these things left as gifts. And the community, Wymore, has done a great job the last couple of times of doing some cleanup. They had like 7 trucks in out of Wymore Blue Springs. So those are good things. Those are good things.
Now, is this limited to Gage County, or is this open to other areas?
What's that now?
Who can bring tires? Is it limited to residents of Gage County?
Or? Essentially, it's limited to Gage County. But, Eric, when I've been involved in it here, we've not exactly followed those lines. And the reason why is because, for example, some of the neighboring counties, I can cite several in Jefferson County. Jefferson County holds this thing, and then they limit the dollars, and then they say you can bring 1 farm truck load in. And so this person ends up with trying to clean up something out in the country that got dumped on him, and he's got 4 truckloads to bring in. And we've always kind of like, the thing is, get these things cleaned up, and if it's not retail tires, not snooker deals, we need to do it. So we have kind of not looked at those lines real close in terms of where those come from, but we're not a wholesale for Southeast Nebraska. It's a Gage County thing. But we have approved a few for clean up things. There was a big pile of stuff around Plymouth a few years ago. And he brought in, was it Kasperic or whatever that was? They brought in a lot of truckloads out of there, that, just trying to clean that up. And now that's cleaned up farm ground, and that's a better deal, way better deal for our community. So we've tried to work with that and those aspects. Yeah.
Are there any questions for Paul? I guess I'd ask for a motion to authorize him to make application for this grant.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Hill. Vote. Motion carries. Well, we thank you for this.
Thank you. We'll get it filed, and we'll see where we go from here.
All right, great.
If I need to send you a dollar, just let me know, Paul.
Next on the agenda is the sheriff's fourth quarter report for the sheriff's office, the detention center, and the screening station.
I thought we did cutting items just a couple weeks ago.
I don't think we did.
Well, we're behind quite a ways on this, so where this is... Probably was. Huh. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have
cutting items
Marge.
Today, huh?
Cutting items.
Yeah.
Well, just been playing home. I'm going to have Sergeant Davidson up here and give his quarterly report first. He's got to get back to court. So, Brian, you can step up here and get these out to everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
It's been a while.
Excuse me.
We're going to be doing the quarterly reports for the fourth quarter of 2018. So toward the end of the year, we had about 3,000 patrons going through the screening station. 219 inmates were brought over to the courthouse. 586 cell phones were brought to the floor. We found 55 stabbing for cutting instruments, 2 pepper sprays, a handcuff key, and a taser. 14 people were remanded into custody. The judge remanded them into our custody. We arrested 8 people on outstanding warrants. We responded to 2 disturbances. We had one in the courtroom. I think Mr. Harris was there for that one. It was quite interesting.
No, I wasn't involved in it.
You weren't involved in it. Not directly, anyway. And then we had one outside the courthouse that we had to respond to. We made 5 misdemeanor arrests. Served 3 civil service papers. We found some suspected controlled substance at the screening station and sent that to the lab for identification. And then for training, and you can ask the staff about this, they really enjoyed it. Deputy Ernst did an outstanding job of training the courthouse staff on recognizing drugs and drug paraphernalia and how people are under the influence and how to interact with them, since that is pretty common around here. So I heard a lot of good compliments and comments about that particular training. And then I also supplied a 2018 annual statistics. I don't know if you have that. But we screened a little over 12,000 people last year. We had 823 inmates brought over. That's a lot. About 2,500 cell phones, 267 stabbing cutting tools, 13 pepper sprays, 2 tasers, 2 loaded handgun magazines, 2 bullets, and a handcuff key were brought to the floor. 30 people were remanded into custody. 35 people were arrested on outstanding warrants. 2 disturbances occurred, the 2 that I mentioned in the last quarter. 17 arrests were made. 25 civil service papers were served. Twice we seized suspected controlled substances. Pepper spray was found in the stairwell. Somebody tried to hide it in the stairwell. And then we also found a .22 caliber bullet that was left on that ramp down here where the inmates walk by. Somebody left a .22 caliber bullet there. We worked with Dave on testing the alarm systems. And for the employee training, the first quarter we drilled severe weather and fire, discussed an active shooter and bomb threat, and then Lisa took them across the street and they did a live fire extinguisher use. Then we offered CPR training on the second quarter. We offered National Safety Council driving safety course in the third, and then the fourth quarter was the training that Deputy Ernst put on. And that's it.
Okay, what are your misdemeanor arrests?
Most of them are traffic. Some are I don't have them listed out here, but most of them are traffic arrests.
And you have a list so that you monitor everybody that comes in so you know if you have a...
Yes, we do. Okay. Every morning we get a docket, and then we run the names through the docket to see if they're... our protection orders, if they have outstanding warrants, and what their driving status would be.
Okay, and you have people have to identify themselves with an ID so you can look to match name to name?
After doing this over 5 years, I pretty much know everybody that's coming to the floor anyway. But also, when we're in court, they're identified in court off the docket. So when they call Dennis Byers before Judge Tim, I would know that would be Dennis Byers, for example.
I want to go way up past Judge Tim.
Okay. Yes.
Go through my iteration again. Where is the screening station located?
It is on the third floor of the courthouse.
So any of these stabbing devices, pepper spray, handcuff key, tasers, 3, I think you said, 2 or 3 that were found, they have to get in here on the main entrances that are on the first and the second floor before they ever get to the screening station if they go that way.
And we're catching only the ones that are coming up to the third floor. We have no idea what's coming through the other floor.
And how many of the general public who aren't involved in court actually ever go up to the third floor?
Probably not very many.
Most of the public operates on the first and the second floor.
Correct.
In a public building. And how many people come here who are excited to be here, albeit to come see us, come see the clerk, or go see the treasurer, or Patty?
That's a good question security-wise also. You know, when we have committee meetings or when we have our regular meetings, how many people are checked as they come through the doors that might be dangerous to this board?
To play devil's advocate to Supervisor Bauman, how many violent incidents did we have in the courthouse this year involving any of those weapons?
None.
Just to play devil's advocate, I know there's an argument for both sides. So,
just preparation, awareness, and mitigation. Okay, so I hadn't done that for a while.
I know,
so
you had to get it off your chest.
I won't do it for a while again.
You did fill your coffee cup.
I wouldn't
expect 40
anything
seconds
less from you, Mr. Brown.
Sergeant Daverson, thank you.
You're
I feel
welcome.
Safe when I walk in the doors to come here to do my work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do they really think that they're going to get these handcuff keys to the prisoners? Or is it from the bedroom the night before or what?
Well,
I mean, it seems like these handcuff keys show up quite regularly in these reports.
There's a lot of unique ways they have them made and designed, too. I become very well aware of it, of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office jail. They've been up there several times getting prisoners. And that's where somehow he got fashioned something in a keyhole. He's in a transport van in the insert and uncuffed everything. When he come out, shot and killed the one deputy and injured the other one, and then took off to the garage door of the van.
That's what happened in that event?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now, you can blame it on a lot of different things you want. The fact is that started the whole incident right there. And I never talked to the sheriff since, but I know when I was there this last time being a prisoner, I was very mindful of what I was doing in that teleport because it brought back a lot of memories for me in that situation. So, yeah, it's they can get them in belt buckles and they can have them. It's just amazing what they can do. And he can even fashion them as well. He might have done that in jail and worked at it and had it ready to go and had that plan. So, yeah.
Tools of the trade, though, I mean, how many different types of equipment key do you have in your pocket right now? If you're in the business of crime, I suppose a handcuff key would be handy.
Yeah. Never mind. Okay, moving along. Calls for service, fourth quarter of 2018, 1,427 compared to 1,732. We had 83 accidents compared to 61 last quarter. 44 citations compared to 55, 144 warning compared to 239. We had 153 arrests compared to 196. We had 4 burglaries or thefts compared to 7 last time around. We had loss of $1,200 compared to over $4,000 last quarter. Nothing recovered compared to $15,200 last quarter. Paper served was 303 compared to 245. We had 102 warrants served compared to 102, which is that don't happen very often, the same. Fees earned was $2,283.31 compared to $2,744.29. We had $284.01 in mileage fees compared to $3,079.99. We had $13 in copy fees compared to $42. Distress warrants was $2,403.66. We had none collected, obviously, before. Distress warrants, partial pay, none, compared to none as well on distress warrants. Town inspection fees was $28.80. We had $3,700 last quarter. Patrol miles driven was 85,783 compared to 78,549. Money reimbursed for grants was $1,751.44 compared to $128.96. No meth labs. We had 5 drug violations. We have no reserve mileage. And we had 6 reserve hours. 183 billing checks. And of that, we found 2 that were open.
Sheriff, why so many miles driven on patrol units?
And won't get out of the cars.
That depends. If a call comes in and you take it, it might be some follow-up. You might have to do a lot more driving than just a car accident. You might have to do some background investigation on it. So it just adds up. So it just kind of varies a little bit from time to time. And, again, who your deputies are. Your youngers always seem to patrol more than your more senior ones do.
Appears as though, did you say the cold weather?
Looks like it in the fourth quarter.
Had an effect on the calls of service or the...
It might.
Out there?
It might. I'm sure next time around, because we're going to start doing this annually now after the first of the year. But, yeah, you used to see a real big jump in the spring, and then you see a lot of the locals come in the winter because they want to be in here and get taken care of the wintertime. But, you know, anymore, it seems like it's not quite that drastic like it used to be. The expenses for maintaining over there is, but it varies, you know. Summer certainly is busier for us. If it's been a bad winter, spring and summer, it starts picking up because we're just getting those stir crazy sitting around the house and want to go to town.
And these next couple months could be...
It could be interesting. Yeah, it could. Yeah.
How do you make decisions on door checks?
They do it randomly. I tell them do not do it routinely because that just throws off anybody that's trying to do something. So,
but how do they decide what they're going to...
If the deputy's north or south, depending where they're assigned, then they'll just... When they come through patrolling, they'll hit the town, and they might check one door, might check 8, might not check any. It just depends. Kind
so
of
they'll just stop. They aren't asked to do that. They'll just stop and check a door.
And then what they usually try to do is we have a card they can leave for the business, let them know that we've been there. I get a lot of calls the next day on that. We try not to have them real obvious because somebody comes back later in the criminal element and sees our card and we've been there, and then so we try to be pretty discreet where they put it. the banks, we have a plan. They know where we're going to keep our cards, so they'll check it so they know we've been there. But we don't
How do you handle when the door is open?
Well, we have a key list. They call it key holder list at communications. I had a deputy go out, probably just 2 years ago, and updated all businesses that we have in the county at that time. And then we'll notify them. They'll get a hold of the owner, manager, whatever it is, and they'll usually come out. And we'll go through it, make sure everything's okay, and then secure it up, and they'll head out, and we head out if nothing was taken. Yeah, it tells us if they got safes, if they got lights on, if they got a watchdog. It gives a whole gamut of information, so when the deputy finds it open, you'll know what to kind of expect. If there's
Them going out back and forth, is that part of that 85,000 miles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's part of routine patrolling is what that is. Yeah, absolutely is.
But nothing in Beatrice, everything outside.
The only thing they're supposed to do in Beatrice, if they are called for assistance, Chief and I have that arrangement, we will absolutely assist. Otherwise, if they're passing through town for some reason and see something, otherwise, they're county. I made that very clear, so that's where it's at.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, go back to the jail now. It's smaller, Matt, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to do what I can.
I'll just listen, I can't see it.
I'm having a hard time myself, but okay, fourth quarter for 2018, for booking totals, we had 164 for males, compared to 180, 77 for female compared to 63. We had 154 felonies compared to 157. 119 misdemeanors compared to 118. Others, which is miscellaneous, whatever, I really know what that is. It does fall in categories we have in the computer in the jail. We had 27 compared to 26 last time around. Sheriff's Office was 123 compared to 108. Police Department arrests were 105 compared to 131. Armor Police was 3 compared to 1. State Patrol was 10 compared to 7. Alcohol-related arrests was 25 compared to 27. Our average daily population is 42, down a little bit from last quarter at 47. Our average outside hold population high and low was 20 and 28 compared to 24 and 33. No income for outside holds. $340 we got income from fingerprints. $1,132.57 for income phone usage, up from $425.23. Commissary commission was $816.56 compared to $582.75. Outside prisoner holding was $172,631 compared to $64,430. And our transport van miles were, let's see where we're at. Miles, they got, I don't know what they got dollar signs on. It was 8,856 compared to 10,176. General Medicare was 185. Take that back. General Medicare was 92,599.62 compared to 23,942. I want to point out on that, what I did, we had one or two in the hospitals in Lincoln, so I put in the security money as well in there, just so you can see the cost related strictly to that. Some of that is medical, or is not medical. It's but a good majority of it's medical. Probably $8,000-$10,000 was security. I put that in there so you'd see the overall cost associated with that, because we have to have. We've got that right now up there. We can have one in the room. If they have to leave for tests, we have to have two up there. So it adds it pretty quick for us, but. Vision was 185 compared to nothing last quarter. We had $29 for dental compared to 276. And again, the grand total was $92,813.62 for all our medical, vision, and dental.
The outside holds $172,000. Was that from carryover invoices or?
It could very well be, Eric. We had those from down south that were running a little late, so I'm guessing that's probably what it is my thought. Yeah.
Yep. But you can see the medical. I mean, that is an unforeseen, as we just dealt with, having to transfer money for the detention center. The medical is one that, as much as we'd like to have control over it, there's absolutely no control when something happens or there's an emergency. It's just something that's imposed upon the detention center.
Little silver lining to the whole thing, if there is at least we get it Medicaid rate reduction, which is huge. And then if it, and I've had a few touching that the deductible of $20,000 for health insurance on inmates. So I might be testing the waters on that here pretty quick as well. So we'll get a little something out of the deal, I guess. So that's it for fourth quarter. I'll ask you any questions, Juergens?
No, sir.
You throw an open house for my new deputy down there when he comes down and moves in?
I might do that.
I love it. I like that. Not at the bar, though.
Not the bar?
Not the bar,
oh,
no.
Forget it.
Sheriff, the one number on the holds or the bookings that's really up is the Beatrice Police. Over the last 2 years, they've gone from averaging in the 70s. Now they're, the last couple quarters, they were over 131, 105. is that with part of the new drug arrests or the additional drug arrests that we've had?
Well, you know, it, besides being busy, that adds a little bit to it. I'm sure they work some grants occasionally, you know, just like we would in the county that's in town. And then, of course, they have a full-time drug investigator. And you'll have occasional arrests, and you'll make a case, and then you'll, Roger knows, you'll have several at one time. So I'm sure that all plays into the numbers, the number of games.
Of course, the point should be made, we get no reimbursement from the city on that at all.
No.
Not a
no.
dime.
No, it's all ours. So, got on it. Gotta love it. Yeah. Anything else?
I felt threatened with you holding that stabbing device.
Well, honestly, I'm telling you, this is here to control me because I figure if you do anything that I don't like, instead of just talking to you, this reminds me not to do anything with it, just to talk only. You know, that's the main thing.
That's a beating device. That's not a stabbing device.
There are multiple sharp corners on those scales. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yeah.
Last on the agenda today, that's for a motion to place it on file, the sheriff's fourth quarter report, along with the detention center and screening station reports also.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote. Motion carries. Last up, discuss and approve or disapprove sending a letter to the city of Wymore with the intent to terminate the lease agreement between the City of Wymore and Gage County on Blue Springs Tower, small building located in or near Wymore. I have a motion and a second, and then we'll discuss this. Well, I guess maybe we better discuss this first because we're going to have to decide what we're doing with this.
Give them the building. Get out of it.
I think your statement there pretty well says what we're going to do.
Well,
we're going to get out of the lease and...
That's my understanding. I just talked to Don yesterday. I'm going to be meeting with Mr. Carruthers just to make sure we're covering everything so we don't have an oops situation because we do have a person that is still utilizing, I don't know, structure, and it's not Galaxy. They took over Galaxy.
Cito.
Yeah, we just want a chance to look at that and make sure we're not missing something. I don't think there's any question as far as doing what the board generally wants to do, that is, we don't need it anymore, we're going to get rid of the situation. So with that in mind, I'd just like to make sure we don't have something hanging out there that we got to notify another party.
We need to wait a couple weeks is what you're saying.
I would ask for a couple weeks to look at it. And again, we had two trials scheduled on Thursday and Friday this week. I will be honest with you, I didn't get to that. But other than to talk to Andy or Mr. Kravitz, and I was going to meet with him this morning on another matter, so I was going to touch base with him. I apologize.
With that being said, it sounds like we will put this on our agenda in 2 weeks.
Anything I went and looked at it Monday, and it is an eyesore down there.
The building?
It is.
Because it's on motor.
It ain't mowed, and the only thing good about the whole front property is a chain link fence.
Yep. The building isn't much, is it?
No,
it's not much.
And who pays electric bill down there?
Probably Zito.
There's a meter on the building.
I'm guessing.
Well, after the two attorneys, Mr. Harris and Andy, visit about this, we'll come up with a new plan to present to you, and we'll see if we can convey this back to Wymore. The way the contract's drawn up, I think it'll spell out what steps we have to take anyway. We may not have any option in how it's done. Just go through the motions and get it done.
Yep. Sounds good.
Real simple. We just give them notice that we're out.
And then we're
but,
gone.
I agree with Roger. Probably best to make sure that the loose ends can be tied up after we're out.
Yep.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Just a comment. I talked to Don briefly. I had a contact from Pickerel regarding the Parks and Recreation grants, and I just had the form here. And on the form, it talks about awarding them in May. And, of course, number eight on the form says ability to fund requests will be based on county budget constraints. I'm not aware that we received any other.
That's the only one that I just got that
So it's $1,000, so I guess I would ask if we could run that through claims next time and approve that one.
And the time frame to put them in is passed, probably?
Yeah, it was April, I believe. I just had it. Hold on. It's actually, let's see.
They've been pretty consistent at using that.
You know, I think the whole purpose of it was to improve those public areas. Well, I know that's why I wrote it, but was to do that and also to encourage the communities to spend some of their own money to kind of, if there's a project to get off. I think Claytonia's used it. I think Odell has. Pickerel has.
Yeah. Pickerel's consistent.
Blue Springs, I think, did.
Yep.
Been a while.
Claytonia did kind of a bigger project. I think, if I remember right, Matt, they kind of did a bigger project on their, maybe tied to
their community
center, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lot, but I know when my kids were little, we'd travel around to all the little towns and play, you know, spend an afternoon going to all the different communities and some of them had pretty nice parks and some not so much.
I was visiting with Eric because I understood it to be, you know, if you knew if you were going to have enough with your budget that you wanted to allocate that $1,000. So because right now we're not even in our budget yet, so would we be better off to do it differently?
I think that what it was is there's the award, and then as the budget gets put together.
So we're not guaranteeing?
Yes, but that's where the following number is because, we approve it in May. What happens in the rest of the year?
Well, that's what I wanted to understand.
So we're trying to shake it out. So I'm just, if they've got the application, if we like the application, just to keep that process going forward. And it's on the form. It's full disclosure. They know going in. You can get awarded, but if there's financial constraints, then we may have to.
If it goes through claims, though, then it's
Maybe claims was the wrong term. Maybe just if we're going to consider it as part of the consent agenda, that our intention is to approve that, but we won't know finally until the end of June 30th, July 1. Put the budget together.
So the way it is, just wondering, we approve it and we see if we can budget for it. As long as we can budget for it, then we'll pay that after we're into next year's budget.
Well, obviously this year is different than it's been in the past, but I think in the past we've awarded those and ran them through the claims. But
yeah, that's what I meant, though. If we approve it, are we saying we're guaranteeing we're going to pay it? Because if we put it on the agenda and we approve that application, that application's for $1,000. Are we required to pay it then? I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to make sure right.
We don't usually pay these until after the project's completed also. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the obligation. Let me read that.
And they haven't done this project yet.
It's been a long time.
I feel like I'm reading one of Gus's reports here. It's so small.
Would you like me to get you some stronger readers?
You should just read this to me so that I don't have to do it myself.
If you turn your phone, I can probably do that from here.
What was the question?
Let's just put it on the consent agenda for next meeting, and if somebody wants to pull it off and discuss it, we'll do that. My suggestion.
And that will give us time to take a look to see what the process is for paying that.
Well, I just know these folks are trying to put their budgets together too, these public entities, so.
And if it would be after.
Projects they want to do.
If it would wait until next year's budget, that should work too. I think the idea is with budget constraints, with valuations changing, our budget may be changing next year as well. Until we see what all the assessed values are, there could be some turn up, some changes with ag land going down, that's obviously the majority of our revenue.
So, I encourage these entities when they contact me to look at the visitor improvement funds as well and go through that process. If they can create events that bring people into the community for a couple of days. Again, if you see some of the smaller communities out there that do reinvest, and it makes a difference. Does people like living in those little towns? They're full of young families and little kids. They've got good community places, then people want to reinvest in the community. But if the place starts to go to shambles, people just bail on it.
Pickerel's done a really good job at reinvesting in their area, too, the citizens and the other people. Odell's another one that's always clean and nice. It does make a big difference.
Well, you know, I guess, Matt, I'm thinking about it, that's $1,000. I mean, if we're going to make us or break us for $1,000 for those projects, to me it's important. I'd say if they apply for it, we pay it. We waste $1,000 every day on other stuff that's a hell of a lot more stupid.
You do.
And you can quote them on that.
When I initially put that together, my plan was to put, I think it was 2,000, and that's been several years ago, and we cut that back to 1,000. But it's not a huge portion, but it's like a match, so the community has to put in. It's kind of, if you're thinking about doing something, here's some help. And I think that visitors improvement fund too is an untapped gold mine for the most part, because that's spending money from people that come from out of town into our community, and we can make that more attractive to get people to come back again. It's just kind of that.
Irregardless of where we are with other things such as a lawsuit, you have to keep moving forward too. You have to keep reinvesting. We can't be a dead community when we're done with this. We need to be moving forward bigger, better, and brighter every day.
Yep.
We'll put that on the consent agenda then in 2 weeks, with the anticipation to pay it in the next budget cycle. And if you do want to make changes to dollar amounts or anything, maybe think about that moving forward as well. With a lack of anything else on the agenda, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote. Motion carries.
Some work for you, Jurgens.
You know what I can do.
Jurgens.
At 9:42 on the clock.